I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back to The Real Wives in Radio. I'm Dorothy.
I'm Tanya. And wait, we have to explain something because the last time we said we're the Real Housewives of Radio.
That's true.
And a lot of people were like, wait, that's not what you guys are called, though. That's not what your podcast is called.
It's because Andy Cohen and Bravo has Real Housewives of anything afterwards on lockdown. So we would get sued if we use that. So that's why we are the Real Wives in Radio.
Yes, but we still love the Real Housewives.
Of course.
Yeah.
All day.
Okay.
And today we actually have a very special guest, our dear friend, Susan DeVincent.
Hello, ladies. I'm so excited to be here. I heard your podcast the second you guys sent it out. It was like, oh, I can't wait to hear, because we all talk about this kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
The three of us, right? So I couldn't wait to hear what you guys talk about. And I liked hearing, for people that don't know you guys already, how good of a friend you guys both are to each other. And you've really been through it all, and not just like in radio.
No, so everything. Because
I first met you guys when you were working on another show down the hall from me. And so that's how I thought you guys knew each other. But you guys have been through it all. Relationships and work and all of it.
Yeah,
all
I know.
Of it.
Since we were like 20.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? Uh-huh. And 33 now.
I know.
Whoa. Well, talk about 10-year challenge.
10-year challenge. Speaking of the 10-year challenge. I'm going to post it. I'm going to post one of ours because we have a lot of pictures together.
Actually,
for sure we have one from 2009.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
when,
my God.
When we were at Prospect Bar and Grill, I think I have plenty of photos from those.
Okay. By the way, isn't it funny how there's two kinds of people that do that challenge?
Yeah.
Like, some people either put a picture that's really great of them from 10 years ago, so it's like so much the same. I don't know, do I look any different at all? Fishing for compliments. And then other people I love that post really like bad hair, like 80s looking hair, only 10 years ago.
Amy Schumer.
And those are funny.
Hold up. Let's acknowledge something right now. Sue just came in with the shade. It is cold right now. You just shaded so many people right now about the 10-year challenge.
True.
But you're so right. You're so right.
I don't know. Do I look any different? I'm not sure. People are like, oh, no, you're just as beautiful. It's like, oh, God.
Thirst trapping. That's what that is.
Thirsty.
But you know what? This week, we actually wanted to talk about something that has been really real. It's been in the headlines. Actually, I mean, just because this documentary just came out, Surviving R. Kelly.
Yes, Surviving R. Kelly on Lifetime. I saw it, and I was like, Dorothy, you need to see it.
Oh,
we've seen it.
Yeah, Sue's watched it.
Sue, you've seen it as well?
I saw it because I saw Dorothy's post about it and how it affected you so deeply. And I thought, you know, I'd always heard about that, but I spent time and I just binge-watched through the whole thing. And oh, my God, it's so much worse than I ever even heard stories were about. Wow.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't seen it yet, you can watch it. I believe it's on Hulu. But it is just crazy. You feel like I felt dirty watching it, not just because of like all the things, the nasty things that he was doing to underage girls, but I felt dirty for being a fan of his music, for liking it, and just, you know, like you kind of remember that stuff happened, but it was just so long ago. It's not the top of your mind. And it's like, how can I support somebody who molest and preys on little girls?
Right.
It's disgusting.
But the level of manipulation that he did to try to stay in good graces for people, like doing kind of church music. So people would be like, oh, his voice is angelic. I mean,
he does have talent.
He's
you know?
Very talented. But how people looked the other way when that kind of stuff was going on just because he was successful.
Yeah,
really bad. So when I first watched it, I think I was more so ashamed of myself for liking him so much. Yeah. And this is what was shocking that came towards the end of the series was that because a lot of his big hits came when we were in high school.
Yep.
And we loved those songs. I mean, to this day, Step in the Name. Well, not to this day. I'm sorry.
I know.
Since
I played it at my wedding.
Yeah.
I played it at my wedding. Exactly. It's one of my favorite, was one of my favorite songs.
Step in the Name of Love.
Yes.
Top five songs, mm-hmm. for sure, you know, and, you know, what else? Ignition.
I Believe I Can Fly.
You know, just all those songs, and they were such anthems for us, you know, and the fact that he was this, it was clear, there was proof, there was actual evidence, facts.
He's singing it in his lyrics.
But not only, I mean, we're talking about this video that went around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
This actual video of him with a 14-year-old girl doing disgusting, horrible, degrading things. The fact that that was out there, and he was in the middle of, like, these trials, and putting out these number one songs that we all just bought and loved and sang and danced to for years and years after. So upset with myself.
Oh, yeah.
I also have to forgive myself because I didn't really understand the severity of the situation, and I didn't know how bad it was, right? And that's why this documentary came out, and thank God, because I'll just never, it'll never be the same.
I remember that whole thing where he urinated on the girl through the Chappelle Show skit. Mm. You know, we all saw that when Dave Chappelle dressed up like R. Kelly. Like, that was so funny.
Making
you know?
Fun of it. Doing a parody of that.
I never actually saw the actual video itself. I was like,
neither.
Oh my God, Chappelle Show's so hilarious. You know, and then you, like you said, you feel dirty and ashamed, and then you watch the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, and then you see how he preys on girls, on fans, and then manipulates them, controls them, cons their parents. You know, I see a lot of backlash where people are like, well, that's also the parents' fault. You can't just blame R. Kelly, you know, but it's like...
Well, yes and no.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe it falls and lies a little bit on the parents. I don't know. I mean, so you're a parent. What do you say? How do you speak as a parent?
Don't think I would have let my 14-year-old girl go off with somebody and, you know, stay over at his house. There's no way in hell that's going to happen. But he was very good at manipulating the parents, too.
He was.
He would, remember, a lot of these girls wanted to get into a career in music.
Right.
So he'd be like, I can help you. You know, don't worry. I'll take you under my wing. I think you've got some real talent. I mean, that's what people do. They establish trust, and then you just believe everything that they say. So if a parent believes it, imagine that a 14-year-old girl who doesn't have life experience is going to believe it.
Right.
And then to later hear how all these girls that were friends, they all kind of knew this wasn't right, but nobody was there to help them.
Exactly.
Nobody was there to stop them and say, oh, no, that's it. Not even the record label executives who walked in and saw a different girl in every room. Come on. They knew what was going down.
Absolutely. They did. Everybody, there is no way that record label is RCA, that they can get away with that.
No.
Everybody in that inner circle, everybody who has worked with R. Kelly, I mean, you could see, like, the other artists that said, hey, you know, we kind of knew, but we kind of were like, oh, whatever. His talent is so amazing, so huge. Matthew Knowles, Beyonce's dad.
I was going to say,
said he didn't let Destiny's Child out of their sight, but they also knew his reputation, but they just went on with the genius that was R. Kelly, so they allowed the girls to do music with him.
And you guys, you know? It wasn't even just, I'm sorry, what he did to them sexually. The mind games he did with them. He's like, you're not allowed to talk to anyone else. If we're out on tour with other bands, you don't look at another person. They would get in trouble if they even spoke, even said hello to someone else. I mean, that's the level of manipulation.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the girls that are still with him today, he still has them under his control.
Right.
Oh. I feel sick to my stomach. Thanks, guys.
I'm sorry. I know. Actually, me too. I'm like, no, but it's true. It's true. Watching this docuseries absolutely actually made me feel sick to my stomach. It was awful.
I
thought, and maybe what I read was wrong, but I thought Matthew Knowles did not let them work with R. Kelly because he knew of their reputation.
No, from what I read, that they did do a song together, it just never made it on an album.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And, you know, and it's kind of crazy when you see people online that his R. Kelly's streaming numbers have gone up because of this.
Awful.
And people are like, oh, well, these people are just fame hungry and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you guys, no matter what, he's still having sex with 13-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way around that.
Even if you just isolated that one incident where there is physical proof and actual visual proof, even if it's just that, R. Kelly having sex doing awful things with a 14 and 13 year old girl.
Okay,
done.
But you guys,
done. Out.
Yeah. You got to give it up for our girl, Lady Gaga,
yeah.
who pulled her song she did with him yes. off streaming because she was so offended when yeah. she heard about what
Celine
he was doing.
Celine Dion,
good
the same.
For her.
Chance yeah. the Rapper doing the same. I am mad at Jay-Z, though, because he's done two albums with yep. R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. Where are you at, Jay-Z, on
yes.
this? Like, why haven't you come out and said anything?
Exactly. So, okay, so let's go back. So this is all, okay.
Everyone's, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Get it together. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so everyone is talking about this because it's a huge thing. It's obviously awful, right? Okay,
yeah.
So why wasn't anybody talking about this before was what you brought up, right?
Right.
Okay, still, to this day, we are talking about it, but it's still not enough because, again, like you said, Jay-Z's not saying yeah. anything. Why aren't the big people saying things? And then Kanye West
yeah.
just came out and actually supported R. Kelly
yes.
or took his side.
In a way where... Yeah.
Well, not supported him, like thinks that
yeah.
those things are okay, but
right.
is yeah. taking his side most.
Yeah,
right?
Kanye's been doing this thing called Sunday service where he plays music and then he talks about things. He goes on his rant, essentially. And he was talking about the artistry and how you have to... like, you can't take the art away from the artist. Is what it is.
Which is a whole nother topic.
Yes, it is. Because I don't think that goes hand in hand.
It does kind of go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been battling this since I've watched it. Like, can you actually separate the art from the artist? Can you do that?
No.
I can't. I personally can't.
It's like seeing one of the football players
either.
That beats up his girlfriend in an
yeah,
elevator.
Never.
I can't let go of that.
No.
I'm not going to root for that guy on Sunday.
Ever.
There's no way. You're done.
Right. It's forever tainted.
The reason why I bring this up is because I have a friend, and I know that he is a huge R. Kelly fan. So, of course, I asked him, have you seen this? Oh, my gosh. It's so heartbreaking. I know how much we love his music, you know. And he said, no, everyone's talking to me about it, and I just want to let you know I'm not going to watch it. And I said, I understand.
You're turning a blind eye.
Yes.
Keep your blinders on, baby.
I just hope you're not choosing to not believe it because you love him and his music so much. I hope you watch it when you're ready because
yeah.
you need to.
Yeah.
And I just think there's a lot of people in this world like that still.
Absolutely. People in, like the club in Chicago who hired him on his birthday, who hired R. Kelly. And he was like, oh, I don't give a F about what's happening right now. And everybody's like screaming.
Singing his songs, grouping for him still.
Yes.
And I'm looking at those women and I'm like, what are
Wake
you
up.
Doing?
Wait, let's use a Real Housewives thing.
Wake up.
And they clap when they talk.
Absolutely.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my God.
What are you thinking?
Close your legs to marry men.
Exactly. See, wait, people make fun of the Real Housewives. You know what? Maybe they know what's going on,
I
right?
know. They do. They yeah. do. They're
oh,
in,
I
yeah.
see you. Oh, we see
each
other.
I'm dying. Anyway, it's just so much. It's so much. So many emotions. So many things to think about. Yes, you do get attached to the music, right?
Yeah.
I understand. Like I said, those
yeah.
were anthems. Those were things we listened to growing up. They represent something in our life. It's very hard to separate the art from the artist if you even try to, right?
Right. Right.
But at the end of the day, R. Kelly is a monster.
He is.
Period.
Yep.
You know what, though? I have to say this, you guys. I don't think it's unique to the music industry.
No.
I think it happens in every kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, you've been in the radio game for a minute. I mean, you're a vet. You're
mm-hmm.
a legend, you know. And radio back, even when we started, was kind of, you know, in regards of sexual harassment and how
mm-hmm.
guys got away with everything. I can only imagine what you've experienced.
It's a, I would say it was very much a good old boy network. We knew that going in. But I still see that even today.
What do you mean, good old boy? What does that mean?
Because the men ran radio. I mean,
ugh.
When I started, a station that I work for had just for, they lost their license just because they didn't file things that you had to file for the FCC. They had to run a certain amount of public programming, and they falsified records for that, so they lost their license, right? Well, when a license is up for a radio station, They would give additional points to things like minorities, to women, because women weren't running radio or not. And then these guys would just pay off people one by one to just go away. Here's $1 million for you. Here's a couple million for you to just go away. So women never had a chance to kind of really get in the game. And I'm talking about in management with radio. So these guys were kind of running the show. And I will say the same kind of thing. And again, this is in every business. But I've seen plenty of examples of where, say, a show's successful and they're allowed to continue to work even though they're doing things along the lines of R. Kelly.
Whoa.
You know, people look the other way if the show's a success, like his music's a success.
Like if they're bringing in the ratings in the, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how much I could, should really share with you, but I worked for another station. It wasn't here. Another station at a time where I worked down the hall from someone that was a very successful show. And that guy was a well-known, we just called him a pig dog, but he was a pig dog. And I'm, listen, I've got five brothers. I've worked around guys my whole life. Mm-hmm. I can hold my own around men. I'm not a little wallflower. But this guy always let it be known that he was the tops at the station. And he came in one time when I was on the air and I was about to do a break. And
were you by yourself?
I was by myself. And the board... my board faced the door, and there were no windows like there are here.
Yeah.
He came in, and he wanted to say something to me, so I thought. So I put my finger up like, hey, hang on, I'm about to do a break. And he walked behind me. So I do my break, and I turn around, and as I turn around, he has dropped his pants to the ground, standing there from the waist down, completely naked, in a wide stance with his hands on his hips like he's all proud of himself.
Like he's Superman.
Like he's Superman. He's doing that power stance.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, my wife's out of town this weekend. I thought you might want to come over and take a jacuzzi with me. I'm like, what?
That is disgusting.
Wait, Sue. Hold up. So he is actually, I'm not saying that if he was joking, it's like better at all, but he's actually serious. He's cheating on his wife.
100%.
He wants to cheat on his wife.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was the least of the, I mean.
Wait, but you saw all of his stuff.
All his business. He had everything on the ground. He was very proud of himself. And like I said, hands on his hips. And he did not think that I was going to say no. Let me just say, he really, really thought, and I don't know if he cheated on his wife a lot and women were just saying yes to him. But are you kidding me? By the way, I was engaged at the time. That doesn't even matter. I still turned around. I was like, are you kidding me? I said, get the hell out of here.
That is so disgusting.
And he was like, so, like, he's like,
so
you don't want to come over?
Oh, my God.
I was like, get out of here right now. Like, you know when in that moment, like, you don't know how you're going to act.
Yes. Right,
sort of like
right.
In a situation where, yes. Like, just say it's a fight or flight kind of situation.
Yep.
You don't know if you're going to be all insecure and scared or you're going to stay in your power. And I was like, just get the hell out of here. And he was like, so he walked to the door and he turned around the last second before he walked out. He turned around, he looked at me and said, you better not say anything. He had a partner at the time. He's like, you better not say anything to so-and-so. And if you do, I'll know it. And I was like, whoa.
So
now he's threatening me.
I cannot believe that.
And I said nothing. I'm kind of mad at myself about that, but I said nothing because you know what? I was a little show.
Right.
They were the big show, and it's a good old boy
network. Wouldn't have believed you.
They wouldn't have believed me. And you know what might have happened? Probably I would have lost my job. They might have thrown a little money at me, but I would have lost my job. And I loved my job, and I wanted to keep my job. But I knew the environment of what it was like then.
Right.
And you guys, it didn't even stop there. This was a situation where it was really just them and me in the morning. Like, nobody else was there because it was early. And he used to, like, creep up on me in the kitchen. I'd be pouring myself a cup of coffee. And he'd walk up behind me and say, good girl. You still haven't said anything. I was like, oh.
You're lying.
He made my skin crawl. I'm not kidding. Like, this went on.
So now he's trying to intimidate you.
Oh.
Into not saying anything. 100%.
Because he was worried. Because I think he was worried I would say something.
Right.
And he definitely would have lost his job. Because come to find out later, they'd been sued a few times before because of his behavior, and only for something really small. Like, I don't mean small. I don't want to you know,
you don't want to little somebody else's experience.
Anybody's right. experience here, but one of them was he just picked up a girl at the office and picked her up high and her underwear flashed. That's what went to HR over. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding? You know what would have happened? You know what would have happened? I can tell you right now, if I went to HR, he would have said, no, I didn't say that. That didn't happen.
Your word against
his. My word against his. We were the only two people in the room. That's just like the kind of stuff that was going on. And you guys, that wasn't that long ago.
This makes me so, I actually, first of all, I'm so sorry that that happened to you. That's doesn't matter if it was back then. Doesn't
Horrible.
Matter if it was happening all around you. It doesn't yeah. matter. That's not okay. And I actually am so angry that that happened to you,
yeah.
Sue. I can't even, Dorothy, can you imagine?
No.
In our time,
yeah.
that happening. And I'm sure things like that still happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and it wasn't even so much just the visual of what I saw. It was that creepy, weird, threatening
the follow-ups.
In the follow-up. That, I will say, scared me
that
more than
scary.
Ever.
That is scary.
Yeah, I would feel like he's going to pop up at any time. I was so intimidated by him.
Well, then it's
But again, you guys, this, I will say, went from the top down. Mm-hmm. At one point, my little show beat their show.
Yeah.
And so guess what happened?
Yes, Sue.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, what a row. One of the corporate guys came to town, and he and I were chatting in the hallway, and he was like, wow, Sue, that's so amazing. It's so great. And one of our managers walked by. He didn't hear what we were talking about, but he just heard the tail end of that. And he walked by, and he said, yeah, I can see Sue's happy to see you because she put her Wonder Bra on today. I'm like, what? And then he just walked away
what?
Laughing. And
wait, this guy was like, is upper management. And he walked by and said that to you.
Yeah. And just kept walking and laughing. I'm like, no, he's just congratulating me on my ratings, but thanks. And the corporate guy looked at me and he was like this little guy with glasses. He's looking at me like, oh, Sue, like, please don't sue me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? Listen, I'm just so used to it. Like, it almost doesn't
and
even affect
and
me.
And that's what's so crazy. That's what, like, what's, it's shameful. That mm-hmm. that's, I mean, you grew up in that environment in your radio, your early radio career, and even, like, now, it's like, okay, whatever. You, I mean, I'm used to it. It's normal, and it's not normal. It's not okay. It's not how women should be treated
it's
at all.
It's better now, but yeah. every woman in this business who's been around for a while has stories like that.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And so I'm happy that you guys will never hopefully experience anything like that. I think that things have become too litigious, and that's great. By the way, a friend of mine who's an attorney told me when I told him that story about what mm-hmm. said and did,
right.
he's like, are you kidding me? He goes, not only would they have paid to put your kid through college, he would have been going to Harvard. I go, yeah, you know what? Because he found out that they'd been sued before, so it kind of set the precedent. I said, you know what, though? I might not be here right now.
Yeah.
I might not have a job right now because that would it might have changed my career completely.
Yeah.
I might have lost my job. I didn't want to lose my job. So I just kind of put up with mm-hmm. it. I stood up to him. I did stand up to him. But and then he just kind of stayed out of my way because
yeah.
I think he knew if I said something, he might have lost his job because it would have been the fourth time
Good.
That they would have been sued.
You know?
Wow.
The fourth time.
It's crazy.
And just to be clear, this guy is not here.
No, he's not here.
Okay, good. Okay.
He's not in town.
He's not in San Diego.
Who do I need to beat up to? Tell me. I don't care how old they are.
But
tell
you know
them.
What?
Tell me. I'm ready.
You know what's so funny? The way you're acting right now is exactly how I ended up getting a partner not long after that. And he was a much smaller guy than this guy, but he was like, I would have thrown that guy up against a wall if you told me that, Sue. I was like, how could
yeah.
you not tell me that? I was like, you know what? I didn't want to tell anybody that.
I just wanted
it to go away.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to sound like I wish anything bad on someone's career, but I had wished that the karma caught up with that guy.
I think it has.
You don't need to wish it, Sue.
No,
it
no,
will.
I think
it will
still,
or has happened.
He's still working. He's not married to that woman anymore. But
good for her.
He's still working.
He's probably very unhappy with himself. He's probably seeing all of this stuff with R. Kelly in the news right now and thinking what an awful man he is.
Because it's like, how has it not come out in more in the radio industry? Because I was telling Sue just off the mic earlier that I was trying to think back of any stories of my experience with sexual harassment in radio. And I didn't have any in the workplace, but I did have one at a radio, like, press junket. It was for an award show out in Nashville.
Okay.
And I just remembered it talking to Sue. I was by myself out there. There was one other promotions person. I was probably in my early 20s. And after a long day of work of interviewing a bunch of people, everybody in radio just goes out to get a drink at the hotel room.
Right. Sure. Hotel bar. It's where everyone
right?
goes.
Right. We're talking, drinking. But one of the guys that I had just met, who was married, was super plastered. And when he was talking to me, he didn't look at me in my face. He was looking straight at my boobs the entire time.
Like an idiot.
nasty. And then at the end of, like, when we're all going back to our hotel room, he tries to get me to go into his room with him.
You're lying.
I've never heard this story. Yeah, but, I mean, I just, like Sue, it just, it's normal.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I thought.
Gosh.
And so I was like, dude, you're insane. That's disgusting. You're married. You're way old. Like, you're not, you know, like, even
yeah.
if he wasn't, I still wouldn't have. Like, it's disgusting. It's nasty. It's unwanted. It's harassment.
It's unwanted.
So, you know, like, he went back to his hotel room, and the next day I saw him, his face turned bright red because he knew what he did was
good.
Wrong.
And at least he remembered.
And he avoided me. Yeah.
At least he remembered. Yeah. You know, it reminds me, though, of, you know, like I said, how it's in every business. When I was a cocktail waitress, when I was in college, guys would be like that all the time.
Yeah.
Guys would, with wedding rings on, would be like, oh, here's your, I'll give you your tip. I'm up in room 3042. I'm like, gross, you know. And I here you're trying to be nice. I work for a nice hotel. You know, I wasn't allowed to say, get out of here, you pig. You know, I couldn't say what I really wanted to say. But a lot of those kind of guys are just, they're throwing the dart, man, because maybe you're going to say no. Maybe I'm going to say no. But maybe someone else is going to say yes.
When you go out, I mean, we've all experienced it. When we're out at a bar or at a club and guys just grab you and you're like, what the hell said you could touch me?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, though, because now if something like that happened to me, I think I would fight back immediately. Like, I mean, things have happened now that I don't stay quiet. You guys know me. I don't stay quiet.
Yeah.
I very much tell them right then and there how I feel, what I feel. But like you said, I do have one experience. It was at the my very first event in radio. I was a promotions intern.
Mm-hmm.
And my first event was at a nightclub. And the talent that was there...
The talent as in like the DJ.
The DJ that was there was very kind of like almost feeling me out. Like he knew I was new and gosh, now I'm getting nervous talking about it, you see? Gosh,
yeah.
Okay. And he knew I was new and was kind of scoping me out, feeling me out, like how is she gonna react to what I'm gonna say? You know, just I could
testing
just
the
tell.
Waters.
Yeah. You know you could just feel you know how you could just feel creepiness?
Yeah.
You can feel that creepiness, right? You can feel it like
ladies, we all know that feeling.
It's like a fog rolling in, right? Okay, like you know what I mean? And I just felt it and this guy was like he had a lollipop in his mouth, and he's just, like, sucking on it hard. He was like, you want a lollipop? I'm like, no. He was like, oh, yeah, gross, right, right? And then it's just like, oh, he started talking about having an oral fixation, right? It just felt weird. It just felt out of place. I felt like he was intimidating me, and that is sexual harassment, right?
Absolutely.
Like sexual intimidation.
He was testing you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He was
testing you to see how much further he could take it.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, guys... How do they do and say stupid stuff like that and think it's cool? And instead, we're thinking, you know, what are you in seventh grade?
Right.
You know, like.
But here's what I did. I just walked away, right? And I'll never forget it. It was years ago. I'll never forget how it made me feel.
Yeah.
Ever.
I want to know who this is.
I do
too. You know who it is.
Okay.
It's all right. Whatever. I'll never see them again. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, though. It is the feeling.
It is.
But in that. Okay. So now looking back, that's 10 years later. If that had happened to me now, I would have said, excuse me? Like, who
hell
do you think you are,
right?
And then I was just quiet about it. And it's just like, I don't know. And what do we do about this? How do we help people?
But I think a lot of it has to do with back to R. Kelly. They are relying on our us being young and being naive and not knowing what to do in that situation. Like, we didn't have experience with that before.
Well, and I think that's why it's good to talk about this stuff, because then young girls listening know they do have a choice. They can say no. They can stay in their power.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you really do give up your power when you let someone even speak to you that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he talked to you was so disrespectful, but he was just trying to throw that dart, you know? Mm-hmm. And how you talk about how it made you feel, that's the feeling I still have from that creeper 20 plus years ago, like about oh, good girl, you still haven't said anything.
That makes me
literally
cringe,
in a low voice behind my back. Like, I didn't even know he was standing behind me. Like, that's how much he creeped up on me, like, first thing in the morning. Okay, and plus I was a little tired, so probably I wasn't too aware of my surroundings, but I'm just saying, like, you don't know when you're young that it's okay to say no.
Yes, right. It's definitely okay. But here's another thing, Sue, because I'm thinking about your situation. I mean, I understand that it was years ago and the game was a little bit different. But, you know, if it's like, it's hard because if something like that is happening or something like that happens to you, like what happened to you, Sue, and your job, it's either like your job.
Yeah.
Or you say something, you know, like, right. Which is still very real. Like, that's
scary.
Very,
very
much how I felt.
Could happen, right?
Yeah.
What do you do? You know?
Well, I will tell you, I'm pretty confident that I would have lost my job because they were huge then. And I was one person, one young girl, starting my career, first time doing my own show. And I wasn't a proven talent. I wasn't making big bucks. So I'm sure of it. I'm just sure of it. And who knows then if I would have even been in this business, because that's when I was starting out.
That's true.
So if I lost my job, you know, I mean, who knows what I would have done?
Yeah.
But I might not have even had a career in radio. I mean, you just don't know. I'm not saying that's an excuse, because today that would never happen to me. I'm still proud of myself that I told him, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I didn't, like, just start crying or just, you know, but now I can tell you right now with this company, that would not be put up with.
No.
I mean, there's no way here would even act that way. But I can tell you right now that if I went to our boss and said something about that, about someone acting that way, that guy would have been fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just thinking of maybe there's somebody listening, right? And they're either dealing with this or they've dealt with it or it's going to happen in the future. You never know, right? This could happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I just hope that you could find a girlfriend or a coworker, like,
don't be silent,
right?
Do not stay silent
against the predator, right?
Right.
Do not stay silent in general. Make sure you talk to someone,
mm-hmm. right?
Please, you know. And also, there's a hotline. I looked it up because you never know.
It's true,
right? 1-800-656-HOPE-4673. 1-800-656-4673.
And remember, a lot of times people do this when they're in a power position where they feel like you can't say no. His power position was he was a bigger show than me.
He
was making more money than me. He wasn't my boss. But a lot of times this happens with someone who is your supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel like, yikes, can I say something? That's my boss. If I say something, am I going to get fired? But you're right, Tanya. Say something to someone. Talk it out. Because you know what? When you're just kind of working it out in your head, you might not really be seeing it clearly.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know? Mm-hmm. So talk to someone. It's never okay. 20 years ago, it wasn't okay, and it's not okay now. I don't care what the business is, whether it's music, radio, any kind of business, it's happening everywhere. You got to stay in your power.
Absolutely. And I think anybody, actually every person that I've talked to about sexual harassment who's received it, regrets not saying something.
Yeah.
Regrets not speaking up.
Yeah.
We have a friend who has a crazy story.
Crazy story.
Yeah, a very believable story because we all worked with this person.
It's a radio story?
It's a radio story, yeah.
But
Can you tell it without...
No. Maybe another episode.
Because I don't want to speak for her. I want to be able to have her permission to say it or maybe have her come on and talk about it because it's insane. Like, your jaw will be dropped like how ours was when we heard your story.
Yeah.
You know? So I think we should save that.
And to be clear, the men that we work with here are lovely.
Exactly.
Lovely men here.
We have a great work environment.
Yes.
That's why I said that would not be tolerated here.
Absolutely.
It would not ever be tolerated here. In fact, I think two things would have happened. That guy would have been fired, and other guys would have thrown him up against the wall like my buddy wanted to do and say, you know what? You know, get the hell out of here.
Tanya, what's that hotline again?
Oh, it's 1-800-656-4673. And this is the National Sexual Assault Telephone Hotline. So if you don't have someone to talk to, like we said, do not be silent. This is a way to not be silent.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way to reach out. And they can probably give you things to do.
Resources.
How to handle it.
Because you don't want to be thinking about it 10 years later like Tanya, 20 years later like me.
I know. Regretting. Mine was like very like bottom, nothing almost. But still, I felt a type of way.
Exactly. Right. And you know what? And just like with the R. Kelly story that we learned in the end, you just don't want this to happen to anybody else.
Exactly.
So you don't want it to happen again to you, but you also don't want someone else
who might not be so lucky as you are.
Who might not say no, who might not know that it's okay to say no. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. I think that was a good way to wrap up the show.
Very intense.
Kind of serious.
Yes. But I think it's something that we really need to address and we all need to speak about as women.
Just talking about it, period, is doing something. So, I'm happy to be here and talk about it.
You know what? I almost wasn't going to share that story because I don't really want to say like who that guy was.
Yeah.
Because people might know him in this town, but you know what? I don't care anymore.
Forget it.
Yeah. He's not in this town.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And we're not saying any names, so we're good.
Bye-bye.
Sue, thank you so much for coming on and being our guest. Please, if you guys enjoy our podcast, subscribe. Follow us on social media at Real Wives in Radio. My personal one is at Dorothy on Air.
Mine's I'm Tanya Gonzalez.
And I'm a fan of the Real Wives Radio. No, I really am. I think you guys are awesome. This is really fun. And it's like the kind of radio we can't do like on the air.
Because we don't have time.
This is like the kind of show we've always wanted to do, right? Right? Yep. Behind the scenes. And you guys are doing it. So good for you.
Thank you. Talk to you guys next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.